Throughout this series, I'm sharing miracle testimonies with you from our church family. And let me say, if you have a miracle testimony and you have not gotten it to me, and you want to give God some glory for miracles that he's done in your life, please get that to me. Either write it down, email it to me, send me a Facebook message, send me a messaging pigeon, somehow, some way, get that to me, because there's some amazing stories that are here in our church family. And it is really stirring me as I hear these, and I know it's making a big impact in the lives of the rest of our church family as we share them. I want Tracy to come up here and share with you a wonderful touch from God that his family had as recent as this past week. Give Tracy a little support as he's coming. It can be scary to look out here at all you all. Tracy, what did God do in your family this last week?
Well, Pastor Rich, my daughter Olivia had an acute asthma attack. They wanted to put her in ICU and they wanted to intubate her. Intubator means putting a tube down her throat to help her breathe. Immediately, I took a picture of her, posted it on Facebook, and asked for prayer. I called out to all the people I knew and asked for prayer. She spent 10 hours in ICU, no intubation. She was ready to go home the next day. The doctors kept her in for observation. She's out. She was in church early this morning, and from the glory to God and all the power and grace goes to him. That he's healed my daughter.
Amen. Amen. Olivia said they even checked her for Ebola while she was in there. Not Ebola in Eastern Kentucky. It's Ebola or Eboli. I've learned that. Another miracle testimony comes from Chris and Michelle Smiley. Can you guys stand up so everybody can know who you are as we're about to hear this amazing story? Yeah. Awesome young couple. Listen closely. This is Chris and Michelle's miracle testimony. There are so many events in my life that I could consider to be miracles, but I believe the first and most profound would be my husband. There are numerous aspects of his daily life that you and I would think of as small, but they are miracles for him. Very simply, Chris was not supposed to live, but he did. His family was told he might never wake up from a coma, but he did. The doctors told him that he would never run again, but he did. They told him there was irreparable brain damage and his memory would be very poor, but Chris then graduated from college with a 3.8 GPA. The doctors also said that because of the part of his brain that was most severely damaged, he might never be able to function in society or have healthy relationships. Today, Chris is a high school English teacher, and most Sundays you'll find him either in Baby Spot, Todd Pod, or Slamtown. That's our children's ministry. Also in December, we will celebrate 4 years of marriage, and in February, 9 years together as a couple. Each of the things I've just told you about is a miracle all in its own. Please make no mistake, the struggle through each has been great and is there daily. But there is no doubt in our hearts and minds that we would not be where we are if not for the hand of God in Chris's life. Just in case you need further evidence of this, allow me to back up and share just a bit more of our story. On May 17th, 2003, between 6 and 6:30 a.m., Chris's body was discovered on the ground outside the barracks at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. He had fallen from the third-story balcony onto the concrete sidewalk below. The hows and the whys of this event remain a mystery to us even today. The fall left him with a traumatic brain injury and numerous broken bones, including a fractured femur and pelvis. His condition was critical, and his family was told to come immediately, for he was not expected to live through the night. But he did. He was in a coma for several weeks and woke up with post-traumatic amnesia. He had no idea who he was, who his family was, or what had happened to him. He had to relearn everything, how to brush his teeth, how to hold a pencil, how to tie his shoes. Then came the physical and psychological therapy and the list of things he would never do and never become. But he did. He did them all. Most amazing still, do you remember the date of his accident, May 17th? He was found between 6 and 6:30 a.m. Chris and I have two beautiful children. Our oldest, Wyatt, was delivered by emergency C-section on May 17th at 6:17 a.m. That is a miracle. Evidence of the hand of God moving directly in our lives as if to say, not just for you to live, but to live on. My plans are not only for you, but for your family, for your future. There could be no verse more perfect than Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. The Lord gave Chris back his life and then gave him a legacy. Our son, the constant reminder of the miracles that our Heavenly Father is capable of always. There are no coincidences, only miracles, big or small. The faintest fingerprints of God's hand at work in our lives. Isn't that amazing? Let's give God some praise for that. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys for sharing such an awesome, awesome story. If you got your Bible, let's go to Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Mark chapter 5, verse number 25. We're going to read down through the 34th verse. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. We're going to read down through verse 34. Small groups are underway, just began last week. It's not too late to get plugged into a wonderful small group. There, we have men's and women's small groups that meet during both services on Sunday, 9:30 and 11:30. Teen small groups are happening right now during the 11:30 service. And then Monday, tomorrow evening, there are three small groups, the Christian Atheist, Kingdom Economics, and the God I Never Knew, the Holy Spirit and His Gifts. All of these groups meet simultaneously Mondays at 6 o'clock for the next few weeks. I highly encourage you to get plugged into a small group. Meet some wonderful Christians, some brothers and sisters in Christ. Grow relationships and grow in the Word of God together. There's great things. I understand there was an awesome time at the spa this past weekend. Yeah, great time. And ladies didn't have to go to Lexington or anywhere else to go to the spa. It was right here. In fact, it was right in this building. The spa was right in this building. So our women's ministry kicked off, had a great event, awesome things going on. Cave Guys went bowling this past Thursday. There was a lot of Bengay and Icy Hot that was purchased or brought out of the medicine cabinet after that. We all realized just how out of shape we are. And that's bad when you are pulling something and grunting and sweating bowling. That's not good. So what I'm wanting you to know is there's great opportunities for you to get connected. If you're a man, if you're a woman, if you're a teenager, if you're a young person, there's great opportunities for you to get plugged in, get connected, do life with someone else that can encourage you and you can encourage them. Because how many of you know the road gets heavy sometimes? Things get difficult. We need each other. Mark chapter 5, verse 25 says this. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Now, I just read to you from the New King James Version. The King James translation in describing this woman said she had an issue of blood. She had an issue of blood. I like that phrasing. She had an issue. Because we can understand having an issue. We all got issues. In fact, just look at the person sitting next to you and say, you got issues. Now, if you looked at somebody and told them they had issues, look at back at the next person and let them know, you got issues. Yeah. We all have issues. Every single one of us have issues. We have issues of various different kinds. The thing that's interesting about this woman is as you read this scripture, you understand that she became defined by her issue. Because her name is not listed in scripture. The Bible says a certain woman had an issue. It doesn't say Sue or Lisa or Mary. It says the woman with the issue. She had this issue for 12 years. And the same thing happens to us today. When we deal with an issue in our life for a long period of time, the people around us like to define us and identify us by our issue. We end up becoming labeled and known by our issue. Just as this woman was known as the woman with the issue, some of us here today, perhaps you know what it's like to be defined by your issue. You've go through a rough patch and difficult times in your marriage, and people want to define you as the divorced man or the divorced woman, and we become defined by our issue. And let me just stop there and apologize to many of you who the church as a whole has treated divorce as the unforgivable sin. And I apologize to you on behalf of other pastors and ministry leaders. The Holy Scripture reveals that there's only one unforgivable sin, and that is the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. And I am sorry that so much of the body of Christ has mistreated people who have been through such a traumatic and horrific time in their life. And unfortunately, other people that claim the name of Christ want to define us by that issue. And then there's some of us that know what it's like to be defined by a financial issue. Well, you're the poor person, or you're the broke person, or you're the bankrupt person, and we get labeled and defined by certain issues, or you have this disease, or this sickness, or this is your client, this is your file number. It's easy to get labeled and defined by our issue. This woman has a physical issue. But she doesn't just have one issue. Like most of us, she has many issues. She doesn't just have a physical issue or a health issue, but she also has a family issue. What do you mean, Pastor Rich, she has a family issue? Well, Leviticus 15, the law in the Old Testament in dealing with cleansing and uncleanness and uncleanliness and different things. Leviticus 15 says that a woman with an issue of blood like this was unclean and she couldn't live with her family. The law says that she couldn't be touched and anyone who touched her became unclean. The law says she had to proclaim and announce if she was out in public, she had to declare unclean, unclean. The law said that her bed that she slept in was unclean, and anyone who touched her bed became unclean. The clothes that she wore were unclean, and anyone who touched her clothes were unclean. The chair she sat in became unclean, and anyone that touched the chair. So she couldn't live with her family. She had no relationship with her husband. She had no relationship with her children. A physical issue has turned into a family issue. Not only did she have a physical issue and a family issue, but Scripture shows us that she also had a financial issue. The Word says that she spent all she had. Now, she didn't start out with a financial issue, because she had to have something in order to spend all she had. So she had some money at some point, but she ends up broke. What's God showing us here? If miracles teach us something, what's God showing us here? He's showing us that this woman, just like all of us, when we have one issue that goes unhealed over a period of time, one issue turns into many issues. One issue left unhealed will grow into many issues. Here's a woman with an issue on the inside that ends up turning into other issues on the outside. Here's a woman that has something broken, something wrong, some kind of internal issue that you couldn't see by looking at her, that you can see these external issues. And I believe some of us know what it's like to have one issue turn into two issues, turn into four issues, and we live our life that's here an issue, there an issue, everywhere an issue. Now, here's the thing. If this woman was with us in the congregation today, and she has family issues, and she has financial issues, and she has workplace issues, and she has all these issues to the point that her issues have issues, the last thing that she would ever guess is that all these other issues are a result of an issue on the inside of her. She would be quick to point out that the issue with her family is because of her family. She would be quick to point out that the issue with her finances is because of President Obama or the recession or the government or her employer or somebody else. She would tell you that the issue at her workplace is because she works with a bunch of stupid people. All the other issues that have piled up are everybody else's problem, and she would never tell you that the reason I have 14 other issues is because there's one issue on the inside of me that I have left unhealed for all of these years, and this one issue inside of me gave birth to all the issues outside of me. Why are y'all so quiet? One issue left unhealed compounds into many other issues. You see, she didn't intend to have family issues. She didn't say, my dream is to not be able to live with my husband. My desire is to not be able to have relationship or interaction with my kids. She didn't want to have family issues, but she had one issue left unhealed that led into family issues. She didn't want to have financial issues. She didn't wake up today and say, you know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to waste all my money. Nobody, no sane person ever says, I'm going to have financial issues. We don't choose that, but I'm going to tell you, friend, you trace it back. Why do so many people end up like this woman with financial issues? Because there's another issue on the inside that gets unhealed and it gives birth to a financial issue. Why do so many of us have such strong and severe family issues? Because there's an issue on the inside that is unhealed and it leads into a family issue. And here she is with all of these different issues that she never intended to have, never wanted to have, because there was this small, seemingly insignificant thing. It's not a big deal. It'll go away on its own. I'll take care of it. If it's still there next week, I'll figure something out. And time keeps moving forward. And what she did not understand is that one issue left alone matures into several issues that you never intend to have. Now, she wasn't apathetic about it. In the long run, the Bible says she tried everything. The problem is she was trying the wrong thing. She tried everything and grew none better. She tried snake oil and superstition. The Talmud, which is the commentary of the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, the law, the Talmud, the commentary itself, gives no fewer than 11 cures for such an issue like this woman had. Now, that's not cures that come from the Word of God. That was the culture of the day said, here's what we think you should do. Some of these were tonics and astringents, but some of them were sheer superstitions like, listen to this, because you may need to go home and do this. Some of these were things like carrying the ashes of an ostrich egg in a linen rag in summer and then a cotton rag in the winter. That's what the culture of her day said. Oh, you have an issue of blood? Let me tell you what you need to do. You need to go find you an ostrich. Find its nest. Rob the egg out of the nest, then burn it. Get the ashes. Put them in a linen rag, only in summer. Because listen, if you wear a linen rag past Labor Day, you're out of fashion. So as soon as it comes Labor Day, you got to get rid of the linen rag. Then you got to get you a cotton rag because God is watching. If it's linen or cotton, no miracle for you. How silly is that? And yet here's a woman that's got deep issues. And she's going and looking in all these different directions. All these different people had some kind of input in what she should do with her issues. And yet we all do the same thing. We'll have issues. We'll have health issues. We'll have family issues. We'll have marriage issues. We'll have financial issues. We'll have issues. And we do just like this woman. We're going to all these other people, going to all these other sources. What do you think I should do with my issue? And somebody will tell you something just about as dumb as burning an ostrich egg. Isn't it amazing how we take our issues everywhere except to Jesus? And I believe the Holy Spirit's talking to some people this morning that you're weary with trying everything else to heal your issues. You've been looking at, man, if I just make a little bit more money, that'll take care of my issues. It's an ostrich egg. You say, I know what I need. I know what I need. I just need to get out and have some fun. I just need to knock one back. I just need plastered. I just need to forget about it. See, here's the thing. What you don't know, one issue is giving birth to another issue. And we're trying, it's just ostrich eggs. We're trying all these other things to take care of our issues, and we're not getting any better. And 12 years of trying all these things. Some of us know what it's like for months or years even, or generations to try all these other remedies to deal with our issues, and we're not getting any better. And here, because of her issue, she's left confined to her house. Every day, nothing any different but looking at the four walls of her house. But she heard Jesus is in town. Jesus is passing by. She heard about a man that's taking care of everybody else's issue. She heard about a man that's taking care of the blindness issue. He's taking care of the deaf issue. He's even taking care of the death issue. And she said, if he can take care of all those issues, he can take care of my issue. See, that's what I want somebody to know today. Jesus has never met an issue that scared him. Jesus has never come up against somebody with so many issues he had to call time out and draw up a play and get some reinforcements in. He's not intimidated by your issues. You can't say, Jesus, I got all these issues going on. And he's not going to look at you and say, wow, I don't know, you messed up. You got some issues. He's not afraid of your issues. And this woman understood. She understood something. She said, here's Jesus. He's passing by. And just like Matt was talking about during prayer time, if I'm going to get a miracle, it's not going to happen by me staying in my routine. If I'm going to come in contact with the power of God, I got to get out of this house. I got to do something different than what I've been doing. Because I've just been sitting in this house, literally fading away and dying, and I'm not getting any better. So here's Jesus in my town, in my proximity, I've got to get out of my box. I got to break out of my rut and do what I've never done if I want to receive what I've never received. And there's some of us this morning, the only thing you really need to do to receive a miracle is what you haven't done yet. The only thing you need to do is something you've never done before. How many of you need a miracle right now? All of us. We all need a miracle of some kind. If I was to ask you, what are you doing to pursue a miracle? Are you seeking God every day? Well, whenever I get around to it. Are you in the Word of God? Are you standing on the Scripture? Are you finding Word from God for you to build your faith? No, I'm not doing that. What are we doing? Well, I talk to God whenever I get around to it, and when it's convenient. I go to church whenever I feel like it. No, you got to get out of the house. You got to break out of the box of the routine. You got to get out of the ordinary and understand that God is already in your vicinity. He is in your town. He is in proximity to you right now. But you've got to break out of the house of the routine of just doing the same thing, saying the same thing, and hoping that somehow a miracle is going to interrupt your routine. You've got to break up your routine and pursue the miracle. Come on, give God some praise this morning. Many times experiencing a miracle in life means breaking the routine. Now, she could have stayed in her house. She could have said, well, Jesus is close by. If it's really God's will for me to be healed, then he will come into my house. She could have waxed theological. Proximity is no guarantee. Lord, if it's really you, and if you really mean for me to be healed, then let three crows fly upside down at the strike of 8 o'clock. Then I shall know. Now, see, when you're desperate, you ain't got time for any of that stuff. She said, in town is close enough, Jack. I ain't gonna wait for him to come beat my door down. I'm getting out of here. She understood that she could have stayed. She could have made excuses. She could have listed all the reasons why she couldn't go after him. But I believe one of the most powerful things that happened in the story of this miracle is there's this conversation that Scripture records that she said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Here's the question for you. Who did she say that to? Herself. She had been having for 12 years this internal conversation. For 12 years, she had been preaching to herself. For 12 years, she had been talking to herself, and it led her in the house. See, here's the thing, friend. Your issues can keep you from Jesus, or they can drive you to Jesus. And this woman made a decision. I'm not going to let all my issues keep me from Jesus. I'm going to tell myself, self, if you can just get to his clothes, something's going to change. Self, we're not going to stay in this house and miss our moment. Self, we're not going to stay here in a pity party, but we're going to get out of this house. We're going to break out of the routine, and we're going to pursue the power of God. I'm going to tell you right now, there's going to be times when you need a miracle, you need a touch from God, and there ain't nobody around. There's not going to be anybody to encourage you. There's not going to be anybody to lay hands on you. There's not going to be a choir there to sing your favorite song. There's not going to be Christian TV there to pump you up, but it's just you and your mind. And that is the determining moment. What are you going to preach to yourself? What kind of sermon are you going to preach to yourself? Are you going to preach yourself into the house and miss your moment? Or are you going to preach yourself out of the house and receive what God has for you today? There's somebody here this morning that you've been trying to preach yourself into disqualification and missing out on everything God has for you. And he has brought you into this house to orchestrate a collision revelation of the heart of God for you that you know you got to learn how to lay hands on your own head, stir up yourself in the Lord, encourage yourself in God, and say, self, we ain't going to sit here and suck our thumb and be a baby anymore, but we're going to get out of this house, we're going to pursue God, and we're going to see a miracle. She didn't have to have nobody come tell her, I just thought you might want to know Jesus is here. She didn't have to have anybody come encourage her and let her know and connect the dots. She didn't need an engraved invitation. You are cordially invited to attend the ministry meeting of Jesus the Christ. No. She said, you mean Jesus is here? I'm out of here. See, when you really get desperate, when you really get desperate for a miracle from God, you don't need a bunch of people to come and prop you up. You just pursue God. Now, I know some of us don't like that because we like to be babied. We'll powder on the bottom a little bit. Oh, coochie coo, Pastor, come on. Come on. See here, some of us need to realize that sometimes I have to part your mustache to put the bottle in. What's that tell me? It tells me you ain't desperate. You're not desperate. We're content to say, I'm just going to stay in my house, in my little comfortable routine, in my rut, and y'all just come and bring it to me. And what Jesus is demonstrating is sometimes you got to go to him. He still says today, you draw close to me, and I'll draw close to you. There's sometimes, if you're really going to see a miracle, you got to bust the door down. You've got to take the roof off. You've got to move away from your comfort zone. You've got to move outside and say, well, that just ain't me. I guarantee you, if I was to tell you outside of your house is $10 million, you do a lot of things that ain't you. How much more valuable is it to you to have a touch from God that's going to change your life? She said, I can stay here. But I'm not going to die with my issue. And this is a decision point for somebody right now. You can keep doing what you're doing. You can stay comfortable. You can stay self-absorbed. And you can retreat internally to the stronghold of your life. You know, a stronghold is just a house of thoughts. And in order for this woman to get a miracle, she had to leave the house of thoughts. You can stay there, but you'll die with your issue. Or you can be courageous enough and brave enough to leave that behind and go pursue Jesus. The woman leaves the house, and what does she find? A crowd. A crowd. I hadn't planned on this. There's thousands of people out here. I just wanted to go see Jesus. Now, here's a crowd. Will she turn back and go home and say, well, I tried it? That's one of the popular phrases in the local church amongst Christians, is, I tried. Scripture says, forgive those who despitefully use you and persecute you. I tried it. Scripture says, forgive 70 times 7. I tried it. And we just turn around and go back in the house. What's this woman going to do? Is she going to turn back and go and say, well, I tried? Not her. The word says, she pressed through the crowd. Now, here's what I've learned. When somebody gets really desperate for God, and they start to pursue God and pursue the presence of God, there's going to be a crowd that shows up in your life to try and keep you away from him. There's going to be a crowd that surfaces, that comes up, that tries to stand in your way from really touching the power of God. There's going to be a crowd of reasons, a crowd of excuses, a crowd of obstacles, a crowd of hindrances. There's going to be something trying to crowd you out from pursuing and laying hold of the power of God. But here's what you've got to do. Learn from this woman. You have to push through the crowd. There's going to be a crowd of people. It's not, for most of us, it's not a literal gathering of people physically, but the crowd of people tends to show up in our thoughts. You start to pursue God, and here comes that crowd in your mind. Well, this person said this, and that person did this to me. And what if this one don't happen? And I remember when I was a child, and they said this, and I used to go to this church over here, and they treated me this way, and I was over here at this place and this happened, and the crowd starts to form in your mind. And all the voices and all the reasons trying to keep you from Jesus. But learn from this woman. Don't let the crowd stop you. You've got to get to a point that says nothing and nobody is going to keep me from Jesus. Listen, we got to get to a point that says you can't offend me enough to keep me from Jesus. You can't talk me out of getting close to Jesus. You can't mistreat me enough to keep me from Jesus. She didn't matter. It didn't matter to her who was in that crowd. It didn't matter if the president was in the crowd or a pauper was in the crowd. She wasn't going to let the crowd stop her from getting to Jesus. Listen, friend, we've got to mature to a point this morning that says it don't matter who's traveling with me. It don't matter who's traveling against me. I'm going to get to Jesus. I'm going to lay hold of the power of God, and I'm going to see things turn around in my life. And if you try and get in my way, I'm just going to push you out of the way. If you try and stop me and you try and ridicule me, you try and offend me, you try and wear me down, if you're for me or against me, it really don't matter, because I'm going to keep on moving one step after another, one day after another. I'm going to keep on moving and I'm going to pursue God, and one of these moments he's going to touch me and it's going to change my life, and there ain't nobody in the crowd that's going to stop me. She pushes through. I want you to push through. God wants you to push through. Push through all the pain. Oh, but Pastor, every time I try to get close to God, things happen. It just comes back up. It gets different. I know. Push through it. I want you to push past your past. I know it hurts. I know you went through some abuse. I know you went through some difficulty. But don't let it keep you from Jesus. Push past it. Push past everything that tries to crowd up in your mind and tell you you can't. Friend, listen, listen. This is tough love right here. Nobody's going to do it for you. You got to do it for yourself. You can't tag somebody in to say, hey, I'm in a difficult moment. I need you to come press through this for me and get a hold of God for me. No, this is your miracle. This is your breakthrough. You got to push through these yourself. The Bible says that she laid hold of his clothes. What's the significance of touching his clothes? I can guarantee you, you come and touch my pant leg, there probably ain't going to be anything happen. You come and touch my jacket, you might get some sweat on you. Jesus was a rabbi. All the rabbis of his day wore the prayer shawl, but in the Hebrew it's called the tallit. And it had tassels that represented the word of God. And here's this woman that says, if I can just somehow come in contact with the word, I'll be made whole. She knew one word changes everything. I've had enough superstition. I've had enough of the ostrich eggs. I've had enough of y'all's opinion. What I need right now is the word. Is there anybody that can bear witness with me this morning? What you need right now is a word from God. Amen. What is it that's going to turn around your issue? It's the word of God. What is it that is going to bring healing to your physical issues? It's the word of God. What is it that's going to bring healing to your family issues? The word of God. What's going to bring healing to financial issues? The word of God. When we take all of our issues and let God's word speak to our issues, friend, change takes place when we expose ourselves to the power of God's word. She touched his word. Jesus stopped. Somebody touched me. at one of Jesus' associate pastors, Captain Obvious. Or I'm sorry, Pastor Obvious. Got to be politically correct. Said, Jesus, there are thousands of people around you pressing up against you. And you say, who touched me? Jesus sensed that virtue left him. What was it that was different about this woman? Why was it that many people pressing on him, but only one touched him? See, all the other people were there to watch him, but she was there to experience him. It's church hour across the nation right now. I'm sad to say, but there are millions of people in the United States right now that are gathered to watch Jesus, but only a remnant are there to experience him. Jesus did not recognize the touch of those that were spectators. It made no difference in their life, and it brought nothing from God into him, into them. But he immediately recognized someone that didn't want to show, that didn't want to just watch, someone that wasn't there to appease their religious conscience, someone that wasn't there just to be seen and say, yeah, I was at the Jesus crowd, someone that wasn't there just to try and network and pass out some business cards and build their business. He immediately recognized the touch of someone that genuinely needed an experience with God. Is there anybody here this morning that needs an experience with God? He said, I felt something. I felt something. He always recognizes the touch of a hungry heart. If you're hungry for him, he gives us this promise in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Not if, not might, not maybe. It's a guarantee. When we bring our hunger and our desperation to him, he guarantees that it will be met with a touch from God. Let me wrap this up. Jesus said, woman, go in peace. Your faith has made you whole. Peace. Jesus didn't have to say that, but he knew this woman's issues have been robbing her of peace. And he said, I don't want you to just get your body healed, but I want you to get your mind healed. I want you to get your emotions healed. And one touch from Jesus healed every issue. Not just the physical, not just did the flow of blood stop, but because the physical issue was healed, she could go home. I can hug my husband again. I can hold my children on my lap again. I can go home. Not only was the family issue healed, but the financial issue was healed. I don't have to live in poverty anymore. I don't have to live with this concern and this stress of how am I going to make it through a day. One touch from Jesus healed every issue she had. What's he teaching us here? That there is in the power of God the grace to heal every issue that you and I might have in our life. We don't have to look outside of him to heal every issue. You got family issues? Let God touch you. You got financial issues? Quit looking to everybody else. Dave Ramsey's wonderful, but I look to God more than Dave Ramsey. There's a whole lot more power in Jehovah than in Warren Buffett. Let's move God from the spare tire to the driver's seat of our life.
Thank you for listening to our podcast today. If you would like more info about our ministry or Pastor Rich, find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Trinity Harvest. If this message has been a blessing to you, we'd love to hear about it. Send us a message or prayer request to info@trinityharvest.net.